You're listening to sermon audio from Gospelite Baptist Church. For more resources or to donate to this ministry, please visit gospelite.org.
Excited about this series. We got started last week. We've been talking about being empowered to serve. And if you were here last week, then you already know we discovered that God gave us some gifts. God was the giver of these gifts. And it's very important to say, preach a foundational message, if you will, in a series like this. And if you didn't get to listen to it, it might help. If you'd like to, it's still online. You can go back and listen to that message. But if you didn't, it's okay too. I'm glad you're here. And we're going to build each week on these messages as we begin to discover, to unwrap the gift that God has gifted us with. But I do think this morning, that the reason why this series is so important is because there is a question that sits quietly in the heart of every believer at some point, if not right now. And that question can be said in different ways. One way is this: hey, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? I mean, I know I'm here. I know I go to this church. Hey, I've even got a seat, Pastor, that I sit in almost every week. I mean, I know that. I know I'm a number, but what am I supposed to do? Another way you could ask that question is, where do I fit? Because I've heard that a lot. You know, sometimes it's when people are kind of on the way out. You know, when you pastor somewhere 34 years, you do hear that every now and then. After 34 years, somebody might say, I just don't know if I fit. Another way you could ask the question is, what's my role? What am I supposed to do? What is specifically my role? Why am I here? Just a few of the ways we could ask a question about, you know, the church that we are a part of. Where do I fit? What is my role? What am I supposed to do? And we ask these questions not because God hasn't given us something, but because we haven't discovered it yet. I mean, we already know God's given us something based on the Word of God. The whole message last week was about that. It is so clear that God has given everyone a gift. But what is not clear is that not everyone knows what it is. What is not clear is what is clear as well is that we haven't discovered what that gift is. This is why people spend years in church sitting. They observe. They watch what's going on around them. They attend faithfully week after week after week after week. They even listen to announcements when what we call the service host stands before the audience and goes through a list of opportunities and places to serve. They sit through that for years and decades and yet never step into what God has designed for them to do. They just sit. They listen. And the greatest frustration in the Christian life is not a lack of purpose, it's a lack of discovery. You have purpose. No one sitting under the sound of my voice lacks purpose. What you lack is discovery. God has placed something inside of you. It's called a spiritual gift. And the moment you start using it to serve others, everything in your life begins to make sense. It's when the light bulb goes on, you become a different person in the body of Christ. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as he was writing to the church, as he was speaking to them about their gifts. He said this, that concerning spiritual gifts, let me tell you something, he said, concerning your spiritual gift. In fact, if Paul was here today in real time, 2,000 plus years after he said this to another church in the early church, Paul would say it again today because we are the church. We are the church. We are Acts chapter number 20:26, if you've heard me say before. So he said this, hey, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. I think some of you just don't know what you have. I'm just concerned that some of you don't realize God's already put something inside of you. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose and a plan. He has something for you to do. You, my friend, are not just attending church. You're not. You're a unique, valuable part of what God is doing at Gospelite. Now, some of you just said, I am. Well, you're supposed to be. We're going to discover what that gift is. And to demonstrate that value that God has placed inside of you, He's given you a gift. And what that gift is going to do is open doors for you that you never knew could be opened. It's going to set you in a trajectory and in a direction that you had no idea God had planned for you. Listen, I am here this morning in the direction that I'm going because God gave me a gift and I'm using it. Listen what Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse 16 says. A person's gift opens doors. But not just doors. Great doors. I mean great opportunities. Sometimes we sing that great Phil Wickham song about great things. I love it. It's one of my favorite openers. That God wants to do great things, but God wants to do great things through people. By using their gifts. God has something great He wants to do in this city at this church. And guess what? It won't get done if you don't do it. You say, no, it will, Pastor. You're the gifted one. Well, I am, but so are you. We're all gifted. Uniquely gifted. None better than the other. None more needed than the other. And this is what's so beautiful about this series called Empowered to Serve. And so today we're going to move from sitting to serving. We're going to move from wandering to discovering. And I have one question for you. Are you ready? Amen. By the way, I'm even ready. You know, one of the things that lacks in us, many of our churches, is just feedback. Amen. Amen. All right. Yeah. A little feedback will do on an exciting church Sunday. All right. So I want you to move from those two places, sitting and wandering, to serving and discovering. Let me give you three ways to do it, all from the scripture. Number one, are you ready? Here it is. Got to understand your gift or your gifts. You may notice, and I'll come to this in just a moment, that you've been given a spiritual gifts test, and you'll find at the bottom that you have a primary gift and you have a secondary gift. And when you take that spiritual gifts test, and we'll go into that in just a minute. Don't take it while I'm preaching. But you'll understand that God has gifted you maybe primarily more in one way than any other way, but you all have secondary gifts here today. And before you discover your gift, you must understand something first. You already have one. You already have a gift. Each person here in this room has more than you realize. Every person in this building has spiritual capacity. You have God-given ability. And when you study the scriptures, you begin to see that spiritual gifts can be understood in categories. I love that about the Bible, is that oftentimes God will just individually, strategically separate our gifts in categories. It's just fascinating. Let me give you three categories to help make sense of what we're talking about. Are you ready? I like things to make sense. So let's do that. Number one, there are sign gifts. Now, what a sign gift is, it's sometimes the most controversial one to talk about. It can be, at least. I don't think that it is at all. Because what it is these were supernatural demonstrations in the early church that confirmed the message of the gospel. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as Paul addressed these supernatural gifts when he said, to one is given a message of wisdom. So one is given this message of wisdom, and then to another the message of knowledge. All of these by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. To another faith, enormous amount of faith, just faith to believe in ways that sometimes it's hard to understand. And this is by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing to the Spirit or by the Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of those tongues. And all of these gifts revealed in the early church, don't miss this, that God was at work. By the way, God is at work here. But God was using these gifts to reveal something. God was doing something. These gifts given to the early church were never about drawing attention to people. They were always about pointing people to God. This is why we have to be careful. So many false prophets out there. talking about how that you can call this number and, oh, listen, all you have to do if you want this, if you want to be healed, if you want prosperity, call this 1-800 number, send $50. There's you can use your credit card, your debit card. Hey, we'll even take your food stamps and we'll mail you a handkerchief that I personally have slept with every night. And when you sleep with this handkerchief, you'll get rich before you know it. And did you know they do get rich? Did you know that wolves come into on that screen and people just respond? These are false prophets. These are heretics. This is nothing about what the Bible teaches. When someone uses their gift to point people to themselves or to make themselves rich, I can assure you it is not of God. This was not the intention of that. Some of these gifts that we just read were temporary sign gifts. And the reason for them being given to the early church was to reach the Jews in the early apostolic age. That was so important. So much context was needed. In the early church, there needed to be an explosion of salvations. And God was doing so many miraculous supernatural things because Christianity, in this sense, was being born in the early church. We are the recipients of what happened then now. But some were available to all to enable us to become efficient and effective while exercising our spiritual gifts. So these are sign gifts. Number two, there were support gifts. Now these support gifts are not just abilities, but they're actually people that were given to the church very specifically. They were given to people like you, like me, people. Listen to this in Ephesians 4. It's very clear. And he himself gave some to be apostles. So some people were given this title of apostleship. Others were given the title of bishop or prophet. Some were evangelists. Some were pastors or teachers. So they got these individual people given to the church. What was the reason they were given to the church? To support the church. They were given to the church to equip the saints for the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. These people were given to equip. These are equipping roles. The apostles and the prophets laid the foundation of the early church. And I'm under the persuasion, though I'm not against or preaching against someone calling themselves an apostle or calling themselves a prophet, we don't practice those titles here. We believe those titles laid a foundation for what we call today evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so we hear those titles more often in our religious culture. The evangelist reaches the lost. And isn't it pretty obvious when someone's an evangelist? Does anyone have to guess whether or not Josh Oglesby is an evangelist? He slipped out to go bring one of his converts to work that was in the church in the early serve. I mean, that's Josh. Josh is going to be in an FCA circle 7 times a week. Anybody want to do that? It's a gift. You can't stop him. He's a machine when it comes to preaching the gospel. He's a machine when it comes to, hey, does anybody else have a jacket that they bought and then written like Jesus is Lord on the back of it in white paint? Some of us look at that and say, it's kind of different. Well, not for an evangelist. Be different for me, because even though I have some of those tendencies, my heart is to pastor. And so I have this role called pastor. And my role is different than an evangelist, although I do preach the gospel and lead people to Christ and I'm a soul winner. But my role, my primary gift to the church is to pastor. There's some that are given to be teachers. They ground people in the truth. Whereas a shepherd, a pastor shepherds and leads, a teacher, he just wants people to learn. He's willing to study and go to school and even go and get more schooling and more certificates. He loves, or she loves, to teach. These gifts are not about status. These gifts are about equipping others in the church, in the body of Christ, to build it up. And then finally, and I'll talk about this one mostly today, there's what we call service gifts. Service gifts are gifts given to the body of Christ to help us serve one another. Everybody in the building has one of these gifts. We're calling them this morning motivational service gifts. These are gifts that are given to the body of Christ to help us to serve one another. That's what they're given for, to help us to serve each other. You'll see that. It'll just become so clear, 20/20 vision, in just a few moments. Let me give you a passage of Scripture. There's seven of these gifts. Seven. And we need them all. We need them all. Listen to Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. Now as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function. So he's speaking of the church. He says we've got all these different parts in the church, all these different people in the church. They're all part of one church, but they have different functions in the church. He says, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, but individually we're members of one another according to the grace given to us. We all have different gifts. When you read it just slowly and you study this and you just really take it in, it's just so beautiful. We all have different gifts. It just makes sense. If someone has the gift of prophecy, we need to use it according to the proportion of your faith. If someone has the gift of service, use it in service. If someone is given the gift of teaching, let him teach. Let her teach. If someone has the gift of exhorting or encouragement, let them use that in the church. If someone just loves to give, let them do it generously. If they like to lead, if they've been given that gift, if they're good at that, may they do it with diligence. Showing mercy, let them show mercy with cheerfulness. These are seven gifts, all given to you when you got born again. When you were given the gift of salvation and you received that gift, that was not the last gift you received. You were given a gift at salvation, and we call these motivational service gifts. These are not just things you do. These are things that drive you, pump you up, get you excited. When you find out what your gift is, you know it because you love it. They shape how you think. They shape how you respond. They shape how you serve. Sometimes when you find your gift, a light bulb will go on and you say, no wonder I think that way. No wonder when pastor gets up and, if you have the gift of giving, illustration, and pastor gets up and says, hey, we need $1,000 to send so-and-so to the mission field. And you're like, oh, I'm going to give $100. I love this. And then others are like, here, he's asking for money again. You don't have the gift of giving. I mean, you're not wired that way. It's just your first reaction is, you know, I just don't know. Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't give. We'll get to that in a minute. We all should do all seven of these, but you know you have. When I took my spiritual gifts test, I had three that were one primary, one secondary, but one is right next to it. I'm a prophecy, and then encouragement, and then giving. And that's why oftentimes I just love to give. My love language is gift giving. I love to give. I'm often the first one to give. I don't have to be the biggest income maker in the church to be one of the bigger givers in the church, because it's just who I am. I love it. God wired me that way. I can just give stuff out. I don't even need to turn in a receipt for it. I mean, I just love to give, and this is who I am. It's just who I'm wired that way. And I need to be careful, because you know how sometimes I think, why aren't you that way? Well, you don't have the gift. It's okay. So I need to be careful that I'm not frustrated with those who don't have the gift that I have. Are you listening? And you need to be careful that you're not frustrated with somebody when they don't have your gift. They're not wired like you. It's okay. I'll say more about that in just a minute, so hang tight. This explains what stirs you and what frustrates you and what energizes you. I mean, you get excited. Those of you that come into the church and you're excited about greeting people and shaking people's hands. I know people in our church that as soon as they get here, they throw their Bible in their seat and they find 10 people to say, and they love it. Oh, I met this person and that person. I know other people that come, sit, soak, and sour. And they love it. They're happy just to find my seat. And you come early so nobody will get your seat. And if somebody gets your seat, you might have come back next week. Just kidding. You say, this is kind of interesting. It is, but it makes sense. It also helps you have the right attitude. That there's a reason why somebody doesn't run around the church shaking hands like you do. Because they're not wired like you. It's okay. Now, do they need to shake hands? Yes. Would it help them if they could put their Bible down and say, today, I'm going to shake three people's hands. I don't want to, but I know I need to. Hello, Sonny. Good to see you. God bless you. That's over. Hey, work at it. you probably need to be a little more of an encourager. Sometimes as parents, we need to realize we may have certain gifts in our parenting that can affect our children negatively if we're not careful. Because we need to work on being a more of an encourager if we're not naturally and gifted that way. There's a lot of things we could say. We'll move on. This is how God wired you. This is why we call them motivational gifts. They motivate you. They drive you. Some people are driven to speak truth. Some are driven to serve. Some are driven to give. Some are driven to teach. Some are driven to encourage. Others are driven to lead. Some are driven to show mercy. And while every Christian has one primary gift, we're called to do all these things. There will be one that rises above the rest, though. One that stirs you. One that keeps you showing up when you discover your gift. One of the most exciting things about discovering your gift is you know how important it is for you to be here. You can't wait to get here. In fact, when you go on vacation, you actually call and make sure that the hole is plugged because you're gone. That's how it is. You're like, man, I'm so important. I don't know what Brother Eric's going to do with me out this week. Church is going to fold if I don't show up. That's how you feel. Because you realize, man, I am important. This church needs me. I fit. I belong. I don't like to miss. I don't want to stay home in bed. I got a gift. I want to use it for the glory of God. It's not random. It's given to you by God. It's given to you by divine design. God has placed this gift inside you. So number one, understand your gift. Number two, you ready? Unwrap your gift. Unwrap your gift. Now I'm going to illustrate this. You ready? You're probably wondering, why is there a gift on the platform? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because I celebrated Chloe's birthday in the first service, and today we're going to celebrate Jackie Clark, who had her birthday yesterday. Jackie, come on up and get this gift here. Jackie, would you give her a round of applause? And then join me, Jackie, come on up, and would you sing, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Jackie, happy birthday to you. Now, if you don't know Jackie, listen, she honestly, I'm not just saying this, she knows this. We are very good friends. We talk, we fellowship. She's been in one of my Bible studies at my house. We went to a baseball game together. You go to all of them because your son coaches as many as you can. She loves it. And she loves your boy sitting right there in that fourth row. All those boys. I know you do. All those boys. All those baseball boys. But she's fantastic. And I love Jackie. And Jackie, I'm so glad we get to celebrate you. Now I want to give you this gift and let you know that the church loves you. And thank you for... Okay. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not used to this.
You're not used to this. So... aren't you going to open it? Well, I would like for you to. I mean, is that okay?
Tell me to. I'll do anything you say, Pastor.
But you're not going to open it.
If you tell me to, Pastor, I will.
This is so weird. Most people that get gifts, this is a little skit. It's not a skit that it's her birthday. It's not. But it is a skit that she's trying to walk away from opening these gifts. Now, we'll get back to this. But sadly, that's where a lot of you are right now. You got a gift, but you've been walking out of the church for months, years, and decades, and you've never opened it. Now, open the gift. Open the gift. Here we go. Hey, here we go. It's gift time. Woo! Oh, man. Okay. Hallelujah. My spiritual love language is gift giving. I can't wait because I bought this gift. Oh, yeah. This is, and I put it in a panda box because I buy panda for my family all the time, and I wrap everything in panda boxes. Look, champion merch for the baseball team. Whoa. And, you like that? She loves her tie. And I got you another gift. I got you two tickets to the David Phelps concert at First Baptist Church. I got you the expensive ones to sit on the front row and $50 to buy popcorn. She deserves it. I love you. So, when you go to the concert, wear Tiger merch and buy everybody popcorn. I love you. Oh, I love you so much. You're welcome. Use that little side, that handrail there. Here you go, honey. Could you bring this panda box home? I need wrap more gifts later, okay? Thank you. I got like 75 panda boxes in my garage. If you need one, I've got one. All right. What am I saying? I'm simply saying that many of you here today are saved, you're gifted, but you're unopened. I can't wait for you to open up your gift. As you discover this gift, it's going to change the way you think. It's going to change your attitude about even coming to church. Things are going to be so different. God has given you something, but so many of us have not discovered what it is. Now, to make this practical and to go quickly here because of time, and by the way, next Sunday, I'm going to dive deeper into what I'm calling seven motivational gifts that drive you and motivate you. That's next. I'm going to give you these seven things, and I'll give them to you rather quickly today. You're going to enjoy this. You'll see, and many of you will recognize yourself when I go through this list, but don't take the test until sometime this week or this afternoon. So let me walk you through this as we begin to discover and unwrap our gifts. Seven motivational gifts that drive you and that motivates you. Put that up there, Ken. Seven motivational gifts that drive you. All right, you just got that. I'm sorry. I got that in my notes, but you don't have those in yours. Prophecy. So prophecy is the first one, okay? Some of you are driven to speak truth. By the way, one of those people is doing it right now. I love this. I love speaking truth. I love confrontation. You know, a lot of people don't like confrontation. I love it. I love letting people know that if you don't get saved, you'll die and spend an eternity in hell. Some people have a hard time with that. Man, I'm like, let's do this. This world's dying and going to hell. Somebody's got to tell them. Amen. And you know what you're thinking right now if you don't have this gift? I sure am glad it's him. I'd hate to tell somebody they're going to hell if they don't get saved. That's hard. I know. I love it. I love seeing people get saved. And by the way, you can't get saved unless you know what you're getting saved from. You can't become a Christian unless you realize you're a sinner. These people see what is right and wrong quickly. And when they do, something rises up in them and says, that's not right. You feel compelled to speak, to correct. You feel compelled to get things back in alignment. This is not the gift of prophecy. It's not about predicting the future in that sense. It's about proclaiming truth so people can respond that gift. Then there's service and ministry. Although all of these gifts are service, we're talking about ways to serve in ministry if you have this gift. Some of you are driven to serve. You see a need and you can't walk past it. That's just who you are. You love filling needs. I had somebody in my Spark Huddle tell me this week, you know, I want to be used of God to do whatever's needed in the church. And now, you know, I'm not saying that I'll be as valuable cleaning toilets as I could doing something else. But he said, Pastor, if that's what you need, I'll clean toilets. I promise you, when he said that, I thought, he's got the gift of service. Some of you see a need. You can't walk past it. You do not need a title. You do not need a microphone. All you need is an opportunity. Just give me something to do. This is the gift of service and ministry. You're the kind of person that makes things happen. And then teaching. Some of you are driven to understand and to explain. You love to teach. You're not even opposed to going on and developing your learning by taking other courses, even going back to school and getting more degrees. You hear truth and you think, oh, I need to break that down so people can get it. I want people to understand things. You love clarity. You love questions. You love helping people grow. You have the gift of teaching. You don't just say truth, you actually show truth. You know the importance of not just being a talker, but a walker. That's a real teacher. A real teacher doesn't just speak it, he shows it, she shows it. Some of you have the gift of encouraging. Oh, some of you are driven to lift people up. You see potential in somebody, and even before they see it in themselves, you're ready to just, you've got so much potential. I see so much in you. I'm so proud of you. You love this kind of thing. You speak life. You bring hope. You move people forward. You have the gift of exhortation. You don't just comfort people. You call people up. This is who I feel like as I take the spiritual gifts test. This is the secondary one that I have because I do. I love this. Look, almost as much as preaching, I love hanging out. I don't leave church right after the service. I hang out to the end. I come 30 minutes early. I love, hey, you know who else has this gift? Todd McElroy. Todd, I mean, listen, Todd's all the way through this church. Everybody almost knows Todd, either by his bald head or by his friendliness. And we're twins, by the way.
Todd just loves to meet people and talk to people. But guess what? His wife doesn't necessarily have that gift. Not that she's not encouraging. She is. But she's just fine coming and knowing the people around her. It's okay. Sometimes, even in our marriages, we both have different gifts, but we work together to become a wonderful power couple. Amen. Some of you have that gift of encouragement. You want to, then giving. Let's talk about giving. Some of you are driven to give. You love this. I mean, you are someone who loves to give money, to give resources. You see a need and you immediately think, how can I help resource that? I mean, you hear Ashes to Life needs something done. We have a couple of missionaries, local missionaries in the services right now. Brad Davis and his precious wife. Brad, real quick, just 15 seconds. Tell us what you're doing. It's amazing. Stand up. You got a loud voice. Thank you, Brad. So they've got a house they're building for women in crisis. How many women are going to live there? So he calls me about 6 months ago, and he says, hey, I heard you guys own a little piece of property on School Street. Somebody gave us that property 15 years ago. He said, would you be interested in us getting that property so we can build a house on it? So we worked it out. They have that property now, and they're building a house on a property that used to be Gospel Lights. How cool is that? You say, what are we going to do to help them? Don't worry. That's coming soon. They're going to be at the missions conference in October. And those of you that would like to help, you'll have an opportunity. You're already excited right now. You want to know where to write the check. Amen. That's how it should be with people that have this gift. You want to fund, support, and advance what God is doing. This is the gift of giving. You don't just see needs, you meet needs. Then leading and ruling. Some of you are driven to lead. You see where things need to go. You start organizing them, directing them, and moving people forward. That's the gift of leading and ruling. You bring structure, you bring clarity, and you bring progress. Sometimes you even come to church and you think, man, that could be done so much better. I remember Jim Thomas, who was in the first service. I never forget, the first Sunday Jim was here, we had the Lord's Supper. Jim comes up to me after and says, Pastor, too much traffic in the aisles. I tell you how to fix that. Let me draw up a plan. I'll bring it to you. I thought, dude, you've got the gift, man. And we've taken a lot of Jim's advice about the flow. That's why we have multiple tables all over the auditorium. We used to just have them up front. And he said, takes too long to do it. You can do it shorter if you put more tables out. Old Jim Thomas. You say, man, I don't think about stuff like that. It's okay. It's okay. We need to find out what your gift is and what you're drawn to, what motivates you. Then there's the gift of mercy. Some of you are driven by compassion. You feel what others feel. You're drawn to the hurting, the broken, the overlooked. This is the gift of mercy. In fact, you bring comfort where sometimes other Christians bring distance. I mean, we need you because some people run people off, but you actually bring them back in. You actually able to say, well, I know you didn't feel comfortable, but you know, it's okay. We love you. I promise the spirit of our church. Because not all of us know how to handle a homeless person walking in the church, but you do. Amen. And it helps us to find out sometimes why people are maybe afraid of the homeless where you're not. You feel comfortable sitting right with them and loving them. We need you. You have that gift. It's so important. Listen, understand this. Every Christian is called to do these things at some level. Every Christian should give. Every Christian should serve. Every Christian should encourage. But one of these things is going to rise above the rest. Because God did not just give you a gift. He wired you a certain way. Some people love others. Some people love systems. Let me give you an example in my own family. My son Matthias coaches our basketball team. He worked with our young people. He loves on steroids. He loves so much sometimes that even at times to his own detriment. Because he's a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chance guy. He just got that gift. He loves people so deeply. Now, my son Ezekiel, now he's a systems guy. He's like, what are the rules? If they're not following them, kick them out. You say, well, preacher, it sounds like we might need both. We do. We need the guy that's got love and patience with people. We need the guy that says, hey, you know what? I think they've crossed the line. And guess what?
that coach and that assistant coach work together to make a perfect team. Are you listening? Some love others. Some love systems. Some speak boldly and some serve quietly. It's just the way they're wired. In our staff meetings tomorrow morning, and all of you that are on my staff know this, there'll be 10 guys in the room. We have a two-hour meeting. We go around the circle to expound on how we felt about Sunday. It's awesome. We all love it. It lasts an hour. But I guarantee you, when we get to Josh Oglesby, it's going to be 10 minutes. Am I right, guys? He explodes. He's like, oh, man, listen, I love this. I love that. I love that. This was great. This was great. I met this person. I met that person. We go around, get to Ken Reed, 10 seconds. Ken's like, yeah, it was a great service. Loved it. Anything else, Ken? No, it's good. I agree with everybody. Now, listen, if everybody went 10 minutes, we wouldn't get anything done. We'd just be in there forever. But I tell you what, I can't wait till we get to Josh, and I can't wait till we get to Ken. They're wired differently. Some people lead from the front. Other people lead from behind the scenes. I'll give you an illustration of that in our deacons. So Leroy Twisdale, who comes to the first service, he more leads out front. You're going to get a lot of emails from Leroy because he's so pumped about benevolence and helping people and meal trains. And we got to figure this out. He's up at the hospital every week visiting people so he can help me and the other elders do other things. And although we do make hospital visits, he probably makes more than anybody else. I mean, he's out front. He's active. You hear a lot about Leroy, but you don't hear a lot about Dave McClain. In fact, you just said, who's Dave McClain? He's a deacon. He sits right back there with his wife every Sunday, serves as the deacon over our treasury, doesn't care if he ever has a mic, doesn't care if you know his name, doesn't care if he's ever on this platform. I'm telling you, I know this man. He's been here a lot of years, but Dave is fine with Jesus being behind the scenes. How many of you are like that? Think about it. Some of you behind the scenes, but some of you are like, I just like more action, and that's okay. But both are needed. Same spirit but different design, both empowered to serve. And it gets even clearer than that. Can I go even deeper? Two people can have the same gift and express it completely differently. Let me give you an illustration. In our church, one encourager is loud, passionate, and energizing, and one encourager, same gift, is quiet, personal, and one-on-one. You know who that is? Mike and Tracy Croteau. When Mike and Tracy do the service host, if you've ever seen them, how many of you know Mike and Tracy? You've met them at least once before. Okay, Mike is soft-spoken. He says, hello, good to see you. It's so good. I'm glad you're here. Hey, we got a few announcements to make. When he gets to Tracy, hello, it's so good you're here. We're so honored. We love you. You guys are a bunch of dead. I'm giving it all I got. All I get. This guy's crazy, yeah. I don't know if you should have come here, honey. I won't be any different next week. I've been here 34 years. What you see is what you get. But Mike and Tracy are the same gift. Look, when you talk to Mike or when you talk to Tracy, you're going to get a different personality, but you're going to feel like $1 million when you walk away. You're going to feel, man, those people are so nice. I mean, she's quite loud and he's quite quiet, but they're both really encouraging. Yeah, I say all that not to be at all critical. I'm having some fun to help you understand that gifts are fun. Gifts are brilliant. Gifts are beautiful. Same gift, but a different wiring. And when you really understand this, you stop comparing, you stop competing, you stop trying to be someone else, and you step into the role that God has created you to be. But you cannot use a gift you've never unwrapped. So unwrap your gift. Number three, and I'll go quickly. Number one, understand. Number two, unwrap. Number three, utilize. And I can go quick because really this is going to be next week. But let me give you a quick 5-minute brief overview before we enter into our response time and have an opportunity this week to do our spiritual gifts test. So exciting. Can't wait. This should explode the church if it's followed through. It really should. So let's bring this home. You ready? The Bible is clear that God expects you to use the gift he gives you. Can I prove it to you? Romans 12 on the screen, beginning in verse 6. Look at it. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, say it with me, use it. Use it. Hey, look, according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it.
Hey, Jackie, wear the shirt. I didn't buy it for you to stay in the closet. I bought it for you to wear. Go to the concert. Buy the popcorn. Amen. Use it. If service, use it in service. If teaching, use it in teaching. If exhorting, use it in exhortation. If giving, use it with generosity. If leading, use it with diligence. Showing mercy, use it with cheerfulness. Do you see the pattern? If you have a gift, and you do, use it. Paul later reinforces this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, where he says, don't neglect the gift that is in you. Don't neglect it. You have it. Don't neglect it. Don't walk away. Don't walk out that door. Don't just say, man, the dude's funny. I think I'll come back and laugh some more next week. Hey, we're having fun because we're believers, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. But this is serious business. This is about the judgment seat of Christ. This is about you standing before God and giving an account for the gift that he gave you. He goes on in 2 Timothy 1:6 and he says, I remind you, if you've stopped using the gift, rekindle it. Start using it again. God gave you a gift. What this means is it's possible to have a gift and ignore it. To carry potential but never step into that potential. And I believe here's where many people get stuck. They say something like this, I'm just waiting on God to do something amazing. Can I suggest something maybe that you need to realize? You don't discover your gift by sitting still. You discover your gift by serving. God, if you're waiting for this lightning to strike you in the sky, that's not. Serve. Be active. Become a part. You don't learn to swim by standing on the edge. You learn to swim by jumping in the water. Get in. That means this. If you're not serving, you're not discovering. If you're not using it, you're not growing in it. Use the gift. Here is what matters. You were never meant to do everything. You were meant to do your part. That's why so many preachers get burned out. That's why guys like me sometimes don't last. Because people in the pew sit there and think, it's his job, it's his job, it's his job, it's his job. Hey, look, you've got a job too. We all have jobs. If it's all up to me, I'm not going to last another year. I've lasted 34 years because some of you have been helping me. And I actually need more help than I've ever needed before because the church is growing. There's 5 campuses. I don't know what God's doing. Yes, it's amazing, but it's no more amazing than people who use their gifts. And here's what matters. Understanding Romans 12:4. Now we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function. You know what that verse means? That the body only works when every part works. The body only works when every part works. When someone says in this church that this church doesn't need me, that is not true. It's not true. In fact, it's like saying I don't need my hand or I don't need my eye. Let me ask you this. If you have a headache, is anybody going to chop their head off? I mean, well, I promise you this, you won't have a headache anymore. But I don't suggest it. I don't suggest it. You need your head. You need your eye, your tongue, your hands, your feet. Every part matters. Every part contributes. Every part is necessary. I'd like to ask the worship team to come on forward. And I finished that point in 5 minutes so I can continue next week. Can I ask you to join me in just a moment of truth as we close the service? And here's the moment of truth. So many are waiting for something amazing to happen. And my question is this, what if God has already put something amazing in you? What if the amazing thing is you? What if this church could be more equipped, more ready, more stronger, could build up because you decided I'm going to use the amazing gift that God gave me? Let me ask you this question. What if the thing you already are waiting for is in you? Not something you have to wait for. It's already there. I gave that gift to Jackie. She did not have to wait to open it. She could open it now. And she did.
And she found out what it is. And she's so excited about what she gets and what she has and how she can use it. Chloe opened a gift. I gave her an Arkansas Razorback beach towel. And we actually called the Hogs in the first service. We did. It was fun. We laughed. We had a great time. Chloe opened her gift. Guess what? If she goes to the ocean, she can put her beach towel out and have a time. She can use it. What an amazing experience it could be. God wants to use you today. Spiritual gifts are not toys to play with. They're tools to build with. So the question is this: will you use your gift? So today has been about discovering. We don't have to wander anymore. After this week, we're going to know what our gift is, because you're going to take that spiritual gift test. Now, how many of you did not get the spiritual gift test? We've got men that are going to give you one. Raise your hand right now. You may have gotten a bulletin, but if you didn't, or you only got one for your, everybody needs one, so there's only one. So raise your hand now if you need the test. Just raise it up high. Should be more than just Jimmy. Did everybody else get it? Okay, good. Raise your hand. It should be everybody that didn't get a worship guide, or if you got one for your family or one for a couple, because everybody needs to take the gift, because you don't have the same gift. Even if you're married, you probably have a different gift. So when you get that, raise your hand. We'll get it there, buddy. I want you to take that gift this week, that test this week. Here's some rules to the test. Look at them on the screen. Spiritual gifts assessment. It's not just a test, it's a tool. So take your time and be honest. It's worth the investment. This is how you unwrap your gift. This is a very beautiful way, just a system, if you will, that will help you to unlock it. Don't answer who you wish you were. Very important. You see, it's not about comparing. You may look today, I'll just give a simple example, and say, man, I wish, I want to be like Brother Eric, so I'm gonna, or be like Carol Ann, or be like somebody else. So I'm gonna check the box that I wish I was. No. Answer who you are, because that's how God made you to be. Are you with me? Be very, that's a temptation. Every time I take this test, I have to fight that temptation. Because I have to be honest. And sometimes when I'm honest, I have to admit, like, for instance, I'm not a very merciful person. I'm working on it. I'm better. But I'm the kind of guy that's like, get over it. Right? I'm like, come on, suck it up. Let's go. And then others are like, Pastor, settle down. I mean, you got to be careful. They need patience. And I'm like, oh, okay. Pray for me. I need to work on that. And don't be mad at me. It's just not how I'm wired. I'm better at it. I have to have mercy. Amen? It's a command in the Bible. I need more of it. And I'm working on it. The score's coming up. But it's just not nearly as high as prophecy, encouraging, and generosity, because that's who I am. I love that stuff. In fact, I get excited about it. I just don't get excited about sitting with somebody depressed for the last 10 years. I that's just not who I am. But I know people that are. I love that too, because we need them, and we need people like me. It's just a beautiful, it helps you to understand you don't have to be somebody you're not. You just need to keep growing in what you're not and continue to be what you are. So answer who God actually made you to be. You do not help the kingdom by pretending. You help it by stepping into who God created you to be. And then next week, I encourage you to return for the third message in the series, Empowered to Serve, as we dive into how we can equip others with the gifts that we have. So take some time this week. Complete the spiritual gift assessment. We'll have a survey in next week's bulletin that's going to be awesome. This has been a teaching series and will continue to be a teaching series, but we'll also give a response, have an opportunity to come forward, give you a chance to respond by filling out that spiritual gifts test, coming back next week, knowing what your spiritual gift is, your primary and your secondary. And then we're just going to see what God does over these next 4 more weeks in this series. It's going to be exciting. I'm excited. I'm investing as many hours as I can into making sure you have an experience that will change the trajectory of your judgment seat if you'll step into your calling. God's given it to you. Use it. Use it. Let's bow our heads, shall we? With our heads bowed and eyes closed, as we close the service, Lord, I'm calling those in the building who have never, ever been in a relationship with you. Lord, as this morning we saw in real time, Edward baptized, buried in sin, raised in the likeness of your resurrection. Father, if somebody here today, Lord, needs to be saved,
I pray that today that they would feel loved, cherished. And in this moment, Lord, we take time just to say, we welcome that decision. We welcome that moment. We'll take that time. God bless that person in this room who does not know you as their Savior. May they be saved today. Others that need to come maybe and pray or worship or just sit and soak in this moment, whatever you've called us to, however you've called us to respond, may we be willing and ready. I know we're able. And Lord, if it's at this altar, please, may this altar feel inviting this morning. May it feel inviting. And may we feel as if we need to come, that we can't come. We love you and thank you for what you're doing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand together and worship?